You guys can clap for that one, all right? close this out here. Okay, so all the trees, for those of you who don't know, this is from VBS. Okay? So now I know how John felt, John the Baptist felt, I guess, preaching in the forest, right? What's that? right. So towards the end of service, we're going to have the kids do a presentation for us, all right? I know a lot of you are here for that, to see that, but for those of you who don't know, it's going to be towards the end of the service, okay? And then we are going to have a water slide and hot dogs and some snow cones for the kids after, all right? Adi's going to be making snow cones for the kids, so. Thank you, Adi. Okay. All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all gathered here this morning. And we thank you for this message that you're going to deliver to us today, Lord, as you open our hearts and minds. That reminds us, Father God, that the gospel is for everyone. And it's all of our jobs to spread that gospel, Lord, to all of our friends, family, and everyone that we come across, everyone that we encounter, to be a witness of the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for that opportunity. And we ask that you bless this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so my sermon title today is A New Message. I'm seeing stars over here. A new message. Here we go. Charles Spurgeon said that the message of our gospel is the gentle word, come. Our Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. The law says, go and do. The law says, go and take heed to your path in which you walk. The law says, break the commandments and perish. Keep them and live. The law drives men with a whip, but Christ draws men with bands of love. The law repels, the gospel attracts. Christ is the good shepherd who goes before his sheep and says, come and I will give you rest. It's an invitation. Amen?
Amen.
This was the new message, not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentiles. Amen. And this is almost 10 years now, okay, from the day of Pentecost, where we're at now in the scriptures. And things are about to change for everyone, because the gospel message has been around for a while now. Amen? It's been around for 10 years now, but now it was going to be impartial. It was going to be available to everyone who wanted to give their lives to Christ, just like today. Amen? And you see, all this time, all the Christians, or the followers of the way, as they call them, they were all Jewish. Amen? They were all Jewish, and our God was the Jewish God. Okay, our God was the Jewish God. But if they knew their scriptures, they would have known that in the book of Isaiah, written 600 years before Christ, it said that in Isaiah 42:6, it said, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. And a light for the Gentiles. Sounds like a prophecy of Peter's mission that we're going to be preaching about today. Amen? This was written 600 years before. Amen? So here in the second half of Acts chapter 10, everything is going to change. Everything's going to change, and the prophet's words are going to ring true. Peter was going to be a covenant and a light for these Gentiles as he brings this new message to the Gentiles. So our first verses say, and we got a lot of verses today, amen? That's okay, that's the message. Verse 24 says, the following day he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. You see, Peter was a great man who had done many great things, as we know. And in fact, he was the most instrumental of all the apostles in the building of the church. Amen? And but Peter was only a man, okay? He was only a man sent by the Lord to deliver this new message. And as they traveled those 32 miles from Joppa to Caesarea, as the Lord had instructed them, and as they came in, it says that Cornelius was expecting them. Amen? Cornelius was expecting them. You see, Cornelius had no doubt that they were going to return with this message. He had no doubt because God had told him through this angel. God had told him that. He had sent three Gentile men to this house of a tanner to get a Jewish apostle named Peter and have him follow these Gentiles all the way back to his house, the house of a man that he never met. But he had faith because God told him, amen, that this was going to come true and that it was going to happen. So it sounds like a long shot, but Cornelius was sure of the success of their mission, amen? And we know this because he would call his friends, it says, the scripture says, he would call his friends and his family to come over to hear this message. So they were ready. They were sitting in the room ready to listen to it, and they haven't even arrived yet. So, and they couldn't call ahead, right? Amen? He just knew that they were going to be there because the angel told him. You see, Cornelius was a believer. He believed what the angel told him. And then Peter, when Peter arrived, he fell down. Cornelius fell down at his feet and he worshiped him, right? His gentilism was showing through. And it's a real word. I looked it up. His gentilism was showing through. Cornelius did not really know Peter. Amen? He didn't really know him. But he knew that Peter was a great man sent by God. And he would start to worship him. He went down, kneel at his feet and started to worship him. But Peter, he would rebuke this action in verse 26. And he says, "Stand up. I am only a man myself. Don't worship me." And, you know, it was wrong for Cornelius to bow down to Peter, but it would have been even more wrong for Peter to receive it. Amen? For Peter to receive it would have been very wrong. And so it kind of reminds us of the angel in Revelation who did the same thing, right? He said, "Get up, don't kneel down to me, worship God, don't worship me." Amen? And the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Amen? You don't worship anyone but God Himself. And in verse 27 says that while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. But God had shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Like, everybody's just following the angel's orders, amen? And they're all faithful. And he goes, "Well, so why did you send for me?" And it says in verse 27 that Peter went inside, okay? Now, that's not a big deal for us when we think about it, but back then, that was a really big deal. For him to go, a practicing Jew, to go inside a Gentile's home, amen? Let alone an apostle, right? To go inside a Gentile's home because it would have been unclean, right? Unclean for many reasons. Many reasons, I can't list them all now, but it would have been unclean for many reasons. But Peter went in because Peter was changing, right? We've been talking about how the Lord was working on him, started by sending him to this tanner's house. Amen? Peter was changing. He was being transformed, just as we're being transformed day by day. Amen? Every time we come here, every time we read God's Word, every time we serve in some kind of outreach, whatever we do for the Lord, we are transforming, we are changing, amen? And in verse 28, he starts to talk about the meaning of the vision and how he was shown not to call anyone or anyone impure or unclean. It wasn't about the food, remember? It wasn't about all that delicious food coming down, right? But it was about people. It was about anyone. This was about treating Gentiles with love and kindness when it came to the gospel. And it still is today, praise God, amen? But it's also an example of how these old dietary rules from Leviticus They were no longer necessary. Amen? This was the new covenant. It was no longer necessary. It was foolishness to keep kosher while denying the Gentiles the opportunity of salvation through Jesus Christ. That was the important part. And in verse 29, he says, "That's why I came without objection to the home of a Gentile. But may I ask why you sent for me?" Okay, and Cornelius is going to answer him. He says, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. And suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. So Cornelius says that 3 days ago he was praying, right? And he knew it was an angel of the Lord that had come to him and told him that that God had heard his prayers, right? God had heard his prayers, and he remembered his alms or his goodness towards others. And even though Cornelius wasn't really officially saved, amen, God heard his prayers. God hears everything God wants to hear, amen, the prayers of the saved and the unsaved. And so he hears every prayer, and he also, God, the Bible says God hears every prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. And that means that we're praying with the heart of Jesus, right? Not just saying, oh, in Jesus' name, but praying with the heart of Jesus, knowing what he did for us on the cross. And so God looks at, as we always, we've said this many times, he looks at our hearts, amen? He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. It's not about our works, it's about our heart, amen? And just because God hears our prayers, now it doesn't mean he's always going to answer them right away. Right? Sometimes we got to wait, right? Sometimes we got to wait a lot longer than we want to. And our answers to prayer aren't always going to be yes either, right? It's not always going to be yes. And we have to ask ourselves, are we asking for his will to be done in our prayers? Or is it something maybe selfish for ourselves, right? Maybe we don't know what's best for ourselves. So the Lord doesn't always say yes, amen? But he still answers us. He will answer us. And you see, we don't always know what's best. So sort of like our children, right? When our children ask us for something, they don't always know what's best for them, right? And we say no a lot of times, right? Because they don't always know what's best for them. Well, it's the same when we pray to God, right? The answer is not always going to be yes. But God promised to hear our prayers, and even those prayers of those that have not prayed in the name of Jesus can be answered. We are all God's creation. Amen? So when God knows our heart is good and seeking him, he answers our prayers. And to be honest with you, before I came to church, I didn't know the true identity. Before I came to this church, I'm sorry, I didn't know the true identity of Jesus Christ or the Trinity. Right? I was raised Catholic in church. We knew who God was. We knew who Jesus was. But I didn't know the true identity. But I knew that God had created me and everything in the world, and I prayed to God to save me. Amen? I prayed to God to save me, to have mercy on me, and through his church, God taught me who Jesus was. God taught me the true meaning of who Jesus was and what it meant for me in my life. And now, even though Cornelius had not received the Holy Spirit, he knew who Jesus was. Amen? And he had heard about his works. This was 10 years after Pentecost. Amen? He knew who he was. He had prepared his heart by praying and being good to other people, giving alms. And he was now ready to receive the Holy Spirit. God knows when our hearts are seeking after him. Amen? God knows when our hearts are seeking after him, even when we're lost in our sins, even when we're lost in our addictions. God hears our cries and God hears our prayers. And thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen? He hears our prayers. You see, Cornelius' prayer was heard. Even though he was not truly saved, God knew his heart, and he knew that he was going to use him in a mighty and a spiritual way. It's what God does. So Cornelius said in verse 33, he said, "That's why I sent for you, Peter, because God answered my prayers and told me to," he says. And he goes on to say that, well, we're all here in the presence of God to listen to what you have to say, right? This large group of Gentiles, they weren't all saved, okay? But they believed in God. They believed in God. They believed that the message was coming. They were ready to receive this message. And they were ready for church. Amen? They were ready for church. Peter was going to bring the message. And these unsaved people, they were seeking Jesus, and Peter was ready to preach it. I could imagine them looking like an altar call or an outreach, right? Everyone coming up and we're ready to receive Christ. Amen. They were all ready to give their lives to Christ and profess their lives, their faith as well, right? Because we're going to talk about them being baptized as well, because they knew that their God had sent Peter. Amen. And that's why we're here every Sunday, right? We're here every Sunday because we're ready to receive God's word from the preacher or from the teacher. Amen. God's word, because you know you're going to hear the truth, and we know that's the truth that sets us free. Amen. That's why we're here. And we got some pretty good AC going today too. So, but when we're ready and able to give and receive the truth, God's going to deliver it to us. Amen. When we're ready to be here and we come through those doors, God will deliver the truth. And so the message begins. Amen. Verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. So he's speaking to everyone. He says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what had happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Notice the first thing Peter says is that God shows no favoritism. Amen? It's the first thing he tells them. Because we have to remember, up to this point, Peter had been preaching just to Jews. Amen? He hadn't been preaching to Gentiles. So he only preached to those who were truly following the law. They had to be a true proselyte, even unto being circumcised, if they were going to be in the synagogues being preached to. Amen? So Peter's about to preach to a group of Gentiles. And this is important, right? Important to this is new. This is uncharted territory for him. And the first thing he says is that God shows no favoritism, right? He says that because he's letting everybody know this is God's message, not his message. Amen? Don't worship me. Worship God. I'm delivering a message for God. And God shows no favoritism. And so verse 35, he would say, that he accepts from every nation those who fear God and do what is right. This was now the foundation of Peter's message of the gospel, and it went completely against their beliefs. All right? Completely. This was crazy talk for them back then in that day. In that day, the Jews truly believed that God hated the Gentiles. That's what they believed. That's what they told themselves, that God hated the Gentiles, and they professed what they believed. Amen? William Barclay wrote, he said, back then it was common for a Jewish man to begin the day with a prayer thanking God. I didn't write this, okay? Thanking God that he was not a slave, a woman, or a Gentile. That's what they used to tell themselves. They used to pray, thank God that they weren't a slave, a woman, or a Gentile. We've come a long ways. Amen? Praise God. They were forbidden to even help a Gentile that was in need. Matter of fact, if a Gentile woman was by herself and she was going to have a baby, they wouldn't even help her with the birth because they didn't want any Gentile babies either. Amen? That's how bad it was. That's how bad the racism was towards these Gentiles. But it was also known that the Gentiles had a hatred towards the Jews as well. Amen? It was reciprocal, right? It went both ways. The devil was having his way through hatred until the cross of Christ came and changed everything. Amen? The devil was having his way, but Jesus came and changed everything. And this would be the first religion, if you will, right, to accept anyone who truly loved their God. Anyone. This would be the first religion that stood on relationships, right? On relationships, because God does not see races. Amen? He only sees our hearts. God doesn't see color. He only sees our hearts. And then verses 36 through 38, he says, Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. The Lord of all. The same Jesus that had performed all those miracles that they heard about throughout the province of Judea and beyond was the Lord of all because God was with him. God was with him. The same God that they had been praying to, the God of all, the God of the Jews and the Gentiles. And then in verse 39 and 40, Peter reminds them of how they crucified Jesus, and then God raised him from the dead. He was preaching the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was the same message that he had been preaching to the Jews all this time. Amen? Now he was going to preach that same message, unchanged, amen, to the Gentiles. Sort of reminds me like when we preach a message here in church on Sundays, it's the same message we're going to preach to the homeless out in a park or out here doing a tent revival. Amen? It's the truth. We're going to preach the same message. Amen? The message is for everyone. And so it was the same message he had been preaching all these years. It was the new message that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Amen? Of the whole world. It was the same message for everyone that gave their lives to Christ, and it still is today. It still is today. Praise God. And verse 41 says that not all the people saw the resurrected Christ on earth, but the ones that God chose did. And some had even eaten and drank with him. Then verse 42, he says that Jesus commanded them to preach the gospel and to testify that Jesus is the one God appointed to die, resurrect, and judge the living and the dead. And lastly, in verse 43, that all the prophets had testified that everyone who believes in him, everyone, shall receive forgiveness of sins. This latest message would show the broadness and the depth of God's love for his human creation. Whether Jew or Gentile, the New Covenant says that we can all be saved in Christ Jesus. No one was excluded, and the same holds true today. Amen? Amen. So let us love all people to Christ, right? Because God said to. God said to love all people to Christ. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's for anyone, in any language, at any time. Where's my picture of Jesus at? There it is. All right. I like that picture. My wife doesn't like it. I don't know why, but I like that one. It's just like the light, right? Amen? Then verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words to them, the Holy Spirit came on everyone who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, it says, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They still hadn't got it yet, right? They were astonished. They were amazed that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And they thought to themselves, just like Pentecost. Amen? Just like Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was now coming upon the Gentiles. And verse 46 says, they heard, that the evidence was that they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. He couldn't get enough, right? They wanted Peter to stay with them for a few days. Spurgeon said about this text, he said, salvation came when each of these Gentiles responded to Peter's message with believing faith in their hearts. Amen? It's because they believed in their hearts, salvation came. He goes on to say that, so that they were actually born again as they listened and believed. Oh, that the Spirit of God would in the same manner interrupt us in our lives. Amen? Amen. While listening to Peter, these Gentiles made a decision in their hearts to follow Jesus. Just as I hope each of us have here this morning. Amen? And again and again and again. Every day we make that decision. Amen? The moment of a person's salvation isn't when they raise their hands or when they come forward or even when they recite a prayer. It's when they do these things in conjunction with Jesus in their hearts. That's when we're saved. Amen? That's when we're saved. It's not an act. It's an emotion. It's our hearts. It's what we believe in our hearts. The believers that came with Peter were astonished because they knew the Holy Spirit had come upon these Gentiles when they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then in verse 47, Peter says, no one can stand in their way now. God has made them all clean and given them His Spirit. Some say that they asked to be baptized at that point. And some say Peter ordered it. But either way, they were all going to be baptized on the spot to profess their faith in Christ. They were going to profess their faith and they were going to start a new movement. Amen? That from a new message that the Gentiles could now receive the Holy Spirit and truly be saved. The world was now going to be saved. And that message still holds true for each of us today that give our lives to Christ. Amen? Each and every day. So if you want to profess that Christ is your Lord and Savior, amen? Whether it's your first time or your 100th time, we're going to do this together. We're going to recite the sinner's prayer together. If you can see it through the trees, you can repeat after me though, that if we truly believe in our hearts, as we say the words, it will save every Jew and every Gentile. Amen. So let's say this together. If you guys want to repeat after me in case you can't see it, here we go. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner and need Your forgiveness, and believe that Jesus Christ died in my place, paying for the penalty for my sins. I am willing right now to turn from my sin and accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I commit myself to You and ask You to send the Holy Spirit into my life to fill me and take control and to help me become the kind of person You want me to be. Thank You, Father, for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you said that and believed it in your heart, I believed that we are all going to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let us pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this message, and we thank You for for your answers to our prayers, Father, for changing us day by day in everything we do. May you use us all in a mighty way, Lord. Protect us, watch over us, watch over our country, Father God, as we struggle these days, Lord, but knowing that you're in control, knowing that the war's already won, Father God, we give praise, thanks, and all glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.